If you could change one thing in your life and everything else would improve dramatically, would you do it? If you could change one thing in your life and everything else would improve dramatically, would you do it? Let me tell you a story about a Baptist preacher that thought he found a way, believes he found a way to really grow Sunday school classes and churches. And so his ministry is going around telling people how to do that. And he's absolutely convinced he knows how to do that. But he says the problem he run into is churches are not willing to change. They're not willing to do what it takes to reach people. And so while he's all excited about, I've got the answer, he had trouble getting people to do it because they just don't want to. Are you like that? If I could give you one thing you could change in your life that would dramatically improve everything else in your life, would you do it? Would you be willing to make that change? Just one thing in your life. I'm not saying your life will be perfect. None of our lives are, right? Nobody. But our life would improve dramatically if we would just change one thing about ourselves. Just one thing. I remember watching a movie, and I don't watch very many movies, but a number of years ago I watched a movie, and one of the heroes in the movies, said the secret of life is one thing. The secret of life is one thing. And what I want to talk about today, I want to share with you at the beginning some of the things that just people have said, okay? And then I want to share with you what the Bible says. Normally when I preach or teach or talk, I start with the Bible and don't even mention what other people say. But today I want to start with what some people have said, people that I respect, and some of them are Christians and some of them are not Christians, but just things they have said about the one thing I want to talk about, the one thing that could change your life. In fact, I want to just stop right now and give you an opportunity to think about that. Suppose Lee could tell me one thing that would dramatically improve my entire life. Suppose somehow he has found the one thing that will change everything else in my life. Would I be willing to do it? Would you at least try it? I'll give it a test. I'll just try it and see if it works. Just try it. The one thing you need to change is attitude. The one thing you need to change is attitude. And it will dramatically improve every other aspect of your life. And yet most people are not willing to make the change. Most people think, I need to change something else. Something else needs to happen. Somebody else needs to change. My circumstances need to change. Some other person needs to change. And the fact is, they need to change their attitude. If you change your attitude, you can change your life. I'm going to say this statement several times during the sermon. Your attitude is not all powerful, but it is very powerful. And you alone control your attitude. Your attitude is not all powerful, but it is very powerful. And you alone control your attitude. Let me tell you a true story. I came to Smyrna Christian Church in 1983. As soon as I got here, one of the church members found out he had cancer. His name was Gene Walker. And the doctors told him that he had a few months to live. Just gave him, I think, 6 months or 8 months to live. He ended up going to Emory University Hospital and agreeing to be a guinea pig, try experimental drugs to treat his cancer. And in the process of that treatment, the doctors did not offer him very much hope. They just said, these are experimental drugs that may help. And we're trying to find out if they do help. And he agreed to do that. In the process, they told him that there are three things that can help you. Three things that can help you. One is this medicine. If it works, it'll help you. The second one is your diet. You need to eat the right stuff. Guess what the third one was? Your attitude. Your attitude. The doctors at Emory University Hospital listed three things that may help him, and one of them was attitude. He had only a few months to live, 1983. He died in 2002. 19 years. And you know what? He worked most of the 19 years. And it was some tough years, some tough times. In fact, sometime he would go off working and couldn't remember how to get home and had to call his wife, come get him. Never forgot his home phone number. And he just asked somebody else, where am I? I'll read the street sign. I'm at the corner of so-and-so. But he didn't remember how to get home. But what I'm saying is that even the medical doctors, some of the best medical doctors around said, your attitude will make a difference in your life. Your attitude will make a difference in your life. The one thing is your attitude. William James, who's known as the father of American psychology, said the greatest discovery of my generation, the greatest discovery of my generation, is that a human being can alter his life by altering his attitude of mind. Now, Tony, I'm going to share with you what some men said. And we're going to talk about what the Bible says in a few minutes. Usually start there and never get to what men say. But today I want to just talk about what some men said. And then I want to talk about whether the Bible agrees with that or disagrees with that. But William James said, the greatest discovery of my generation is that a human being can alter his life by altering his attitude. If he just changes attitude, he'll change his whole life. Winston Churchill said, attitude is the little thing that makes a big difference. Attitude is the little thing that makes a big difference. Norman Vincent Peale said, change your thoughts and you'll change your world. Change your thoughts and you'll change your world. It isn't our position, but our disposition that makes us happy or sad. One of the most fascinating things I know is that people I talk to think, if somebody else will change, I'll be happy. If my wife would change, or my husband would change, or my children would change, or my boss would change, or my living conditions would change, or my job would, if something else would change, I'd be happy. Doesn't work. I very seldom have the nerve to tell them, but they'll say, if I lived in some other town, if I lived somewhere else, things would be different. The problem is, everywhere you go, there you are. Everywhere you go, there you are. And the reason you're not happy is because of you. It's not because of somebody else. Nobody else can make you happy or sad. Nobody else can make you mad. You get mad because it comes from inside. Jesus said it comes from your heart. Outburst of anger comes from your heart. It doesn't come because somebody else does something. It's because they just revealed it. They don't cause it. You cause it. It's not your position, it's your disposition. It isn't what happens to us. It isn't other people. It's our attitude that makes all the difference. I've often tried to illustrate that by saying, and I don't even play the lottery, but if I played the lottery and won $1 million, and you said something against me, you think if I went down there and cashed that check and had that $1 million in my bank account, you could say anything that would make me mad? I don't care what you say. Don't make any difference to me. I got it, see? And that's true whether I won $1 million or not. I can choose how I respond to everybody. I can choose that. You can't make me mad. I can make myself mad, but you can't do it. You can't make me sad. I can do it, but you can't do it. Circumstances can't do it. It's you. It's your attitude that makes all the difference. Charles Swindoll. How many of you know who Charles Swindoll is? He's an evangelical preacher. I think Evangelical Covenant Church or something like that. But anyway, very well-known preacher. He's getting pretty old now, but has some great material. And Charles Swindoll says, attitude to me is more important than facts. Wow. It's more important than facts. It is more important than the past. We have all kinds of people that says the reason the way I am is because of what happened to me in the past. Your attitude's more important than the past. Your attitude's more important than education, he says. It's more important than money. It's more important than circumstances. People are always blaming their circumstances. Always. And they don't realize that it's not the circumstances, it's me. The person I need to change is me. What I need to change is my attitude toward the circumstances. More important than failures. You ever known a person that had one failure and never could get over it? I've known a few people that had one success and could never get over it. He was a high school football star, and now he's 40 years old, and that's all he can do. Talk about his high school days playing football. More important than success, it's more important what people think. It's amazing that we are so concerned about what other people think of us. We are so concerned about what other people think of us, and we don't realize they don't ever think of you. You're worried to death for what they think. They don't think about you. So it's more important what other people think. So more important what other people say. More important what other people do. We're always saying, if that person would change, then I would be okay. And that's not where it comes from. It is more important than appearance. It's more important than giftedness. It's more important than skill. Listen to the next sentence of what he said. It will make or break a company, a church, a home, an attitude will destroy wherever it goes. It will also rebuild wherever it goes. Life is 10% what happens to me and 90% how I react to it. I can just hear some of you saying, nope, he got those percentages wrong. Life is 10% of what happens to me and 90% how I react to it. I'm not sure. I believe 96.6 of all percentages are made up on the spot anyway. So I'm not sure where he got those percentages, but I think it is true that what happens to me cannot really control me. It's how I respond to what happens to me that controls me. I won't ever forget one Wednesday night we were talking, and Rosemarie Cunningham said, there's a German saying, and I can't remember the saying, but I can't remember the German. But anyway, what the saying meant was, there's a problem under every roof. There's a problem under every roof. Every person you meet has got problems. Every person. Not some of them, not most of them, all of them. And yet there is a world of difference in the way they respond to their problems. A world of difference. And the difference is, tell me, attitude. That's the difference. And, you know, you heard me tell the story about the two little twins, and one of them was an optimist and one of them was a pessimist. Heard me tell that story? The little boys. So one year the parents got so tired of one of them being an optimist and everything was good and all that stuff, and one of them being a pessimist. For Christmas, they bought the pessimist the best-looking bike, everything he wanted, exactly what he wanted, put it under the Christmas tree. And for the optimist, they went to the horse stable and bought a bag of manure. They sell manure to grow on flowers. Okay, so under the Christmas tree, the pessimist had this little bike, great-looking bike. He came down and looked. Guess what he said? I'm probably going to fall off of that thing and hurt myself. When the optimist came, he saw this pile of manure. He got so excited, ran to the door, opened the door. He says, well, that much manure has got to be a pony somewhere. Okay, and the whole difference is attitude. Attitude. And if you have a great attitude, still bad things happen to you, don't it? But it makes a world of difference in how you respond to it. Viktor Frankl, one of my favorite Jews, okay? And you ought to look up, those of you who are computer people or whatever, you ought to look up Viktor Frankl and you Google him. Viktor Frankl was in the German concentration camps for 3 years. 3 years. And he says that, in fact, when he came out, he wrote a book. And one of the things he learned was that even in terrible, terrible circumstances, people respond differently. And he says that everything can be taken from a man but one thing. Everything can be taken but one thing. And that's to choose his attitude in any given set of circumstances. And he said in the concentration camps, terrible, terrible situation, terrible things happening, that there were some people in the concentration camp that had a good attitude and tried to help other people. He came out of the concentration camp, somehow or another got out of that and lived and became a psychiatrist. An existentialist psychiatrist. And I've been trying to figure out what existentialism is for years. I'm not sure I still know. I don't know what that is. But two or three of my favorite people claim to be existentialists. I read up and look it up in the dictionary and all that stuff, and I don't know what they're talking about. But he was a Jew. He was an existentialist psychiatrist. And he did believe that every person is responsible for his own life. You're responsible. No matter what happens to you, no matter what's going on, you're responsible. No matter what your health is, your mental health, doesn't make any difference. You're responsible for your life. Because he believes you can choose your attitude toward any situation. You get to choose your attitude. Nobody else can take that away from you. You choose it. Your attitude is not all powerful, but it's very powerful. And you alone control it. Your attitude is not all powerful, but it is very powerful, and you alone control it. It's not what happens to you that matters. It's how you respond to what happens. That's what matters. Your attitude toward people will determine to a large extent the attitude toward you. Your attitude toward people will determine to a large extent the attitude toward you. Try it. Just go for several months and be happy and joyous everywhere you go. See how people treat you. They may go ahead and inspect your garbage to see what you own, but anyway, and there are always exceptions. There are always somebody going to be a grouch. I don't care what you do. But if you are joyous and happy to them, most of the time they'll be joyous and happy to you. Your attitude toward a project when you start it will determine whether you're going to be successful at it or not. Your attitude toward a job. If you have a terrible attitude toward your job, you're probably not going to be successful. If you're really thrilled with your job, you're probably going to do all right. Your attitude is not all powerful, but it is very powerful. Doesn't change everything, but it changes a lot of stuff. But what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? All that other stuff, I happen to believe that everything I've said so far has been true, but that's just because I believe that. I don't have any authority. Our authority is the Bible. So what does the Bible say? The Bible says, for as he thinks within himself, so he is. As he thinks within himself, that's who he is. Now, if you read the context of that, and Proverbs has usually not much context, but in this particular case, there is, and it's a person, you're going to visit an enemy, and he's treating you like a friend. He's really not your friend. He's your enemy. But he's going to pretend you are, and he's going to do all kinds of good stuff and give you his food and all that stuff and feed you. And the Bible says, no, it's what's in his heart that counts. That's who he really is. He may put on a front, but who he really is, it's in his heart. As he thinks within himself, so he is. Paul says in Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. When am I supposed to rejoice? I'm to rejoice when? When? How about sometimes? How about most of the time? I'm to rejoice always. Always. How about when I'm sick? How about when I'm broke? How about when everything is going wrong at work? Rejoice always. Rejoice always. Uh-oh. Read that one and tell me if you want me to skip over that one. There it is in the Bible. If you don't believe me, look it up. In the Bible. It says, do most things without grumbling. How many things? So how many of us is in trouble already? Do all things without grumbling and dispute. Now you go, so I'm going to read the context. Doesn't help you. It still says do all things without grumbling or dispute. And I know people who can't do some things without grumbling or disputing. I mean, just a few. They grumble and dispute about everything. And no matter what's going on. And my personality, I'm a melancholy personality, and I'm naturally a negative person. I don't have to work at it. It comes naturally. And so a number of years ago, I decided I'm going to try my best to change that. I'm going to try my best to change that. Because the Bible says rejoice always. And the Bible says do everything without grumbling or complaining. So I'm going to try to not be negative about everything. I'm going to try to be positive about some things. I mean, just my nature. Just I don't have to work at it. You can come up with any solution you want to, and I can find a problem. I can find a problem in every solution. There's some people that can find a solution to every problem. I can find a problem in every solution. And I don't have to work at it. It just comes automatically. But I try. I'm trying. I've been trying all of my life, all my adult life, to become positive, to do all things without grumbling and complaining. That's what the Bible says I'm supposed to do. You know where Paul was when he wrote that? In prison. And he was in prison because he was doing what God wanted him to do. Being in prison is bad enough. Being in prison because I'm doing what God wants me to do, and God's in charge. I mean, he's the sovereign God. He can do whatever he wants to. Here I am doing what he wants to do, and here I am in prison. And he writes to the rest of us and says, do all things without grumbling or disputing. How could he possibly mean that? You know he didn't mean that. Yeah, I think he did. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. I looked through that list. I've looked through it several different times. I try to find one thing negative in the whole list. Paul is telling me what I should think about. And he says you should think about things that are true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and good repute, anything excellent, anything worthy of praise. Think about those things. If I could somehow or another punch a rewind button and play back for the rest of us what you thought about for the last 24 hours, how many of those things would fit in? You see, I have a tendency to think about what's wrong with the world and what's wrong with these people and that people and some other people. What's wrong with the church and what's wrong with society and what's wrong with my job and what's wrong with the state and what's wrong with the government. The Bible says I need to think about things that are true and honorable, right and pure. How about this one? I can do all things through him. What does King James say? Tell me. Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, I can't do that. My sister was going to marry a farmer. And my mother said, you can't marry a farmer. You can't farm. That's hard work. You can't do that. And but the Bible says, as a Christian, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do, how many? All things. Is that positive or negative? Let me ask you, does that mean Christ is going to do it for me? What does it say? I can do all things. I have to have his power and his strength, but I'm the one doing it. I can do all things. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. Mind set on the flesh is death. The mind set on the spirit is life and peace. I want life and peace or not? Don't want life, peace? Then set my mind on the things of the spirit. That's the way to do it. That's what the Bible says. If I change my attitude, I can change my world. If I change my attitude, I can change my world. Have this attitude in yourselves, which would also in Christ Jesus. That's pretty much sums it up, doesn't it? Have the same attitude Jesus had. Let's just read the next two or three verses and see what attitude he had. Who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. He was God, completely God. He was 100% God. But he emptied himself, taking the form of a bond servant and being made in the likeness of men. He became a servant. He became a servant. You know, from a secular point of view, everybody with me, I just changed gears there. From a secular point of view, you know how to become successful? Be a servant. Give people what they want and need, and you'll be successful. Jesus became a servant. He became a servant. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So he became a servant to people, and he became obedient to God. What a great attitude. I'm going to be obedient to God, I'm going to be servant to people. Christians are commanded to have the same attitude Jesus had. Jesus' attitude was one, obedience to the Father, and servant to people. That was his attitude. And the Bible commands that we have the same attitude. You can change your life by changing your attitude. Many of you will either not believe me or not do it. But you can change your life by changing your attitude. Your attitude is not all powerful, but it's very powerful. And you alone control it. You alone control it. Nobody else can control your attitude. They can do all kinds of things to you, but they cannot control the attitude you have. Viktor Frankl says it's the only freedom they can't take away. It's the only freedom they can't take away. Now, Viktor Frankl was a Jewish psychiatrist, so you have to take that in consideration. But your attitude is the one thing no one can take from you. You alone decide your attitude in any given situation. And your attitude will make all the difference. Whatever your attitude is, no matter what the circumstances are, no matter what the situation is, your attitude makes all the difference. Your attitude is not all powerful, but it is very powerful. And you alone control it. Change your attitude, change your life. If you could change one thing about your life that would dramatically improve everything else, would you do it? The one thing is you need to change your attitude. Your attitude is not all powerful, but it's very powerful. And you alone control it. You alone. You say, well, Lee, I'm sick. Had nothing to do with it. You can still control it. Lee, I'm old. Had nothing to do with it. You can still control it. Lee, I'm poor. Had nothing to do with it. You can still control it. Whatever. You can control it. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. Our invitation hymn says, have your own way. You're asking God to have his own way in your life. And God has told us in the scriptures, God has told us in the scriptures, we need to have the same attitude that Jesus had. And Jesus' attitude was one of obedience to the Father and service to mankind. You control your attitude. Nobody else can. You control it. Nobody can take that away from you. And you can be a grouch or be a happy guy, whatever you want to be. And you can be that no matter what the circumstances are. One of the most amazing things I learned when I went into the ministry is that many times I go to visit people who are sick or visit the hospital or whatever, and there are people that I hope I help when I do that. I hope I do. But there are many people that help me much more than I help them. I've visited people who were in terrible, terrible condition physically, and they encouraged me tremendously. They made a difference in my life because of their attitude in their terrible situations. And every one of us can do that. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus.